If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Boy, am I beat.
Peter, what's with the tie?
Oh, I bought a tie so I can loosen it when I'm beat.
Oh my God, Dad!
Peter, your breath, it's horrible.
Is Whoopi Goldberg working out down there?
Peter, I think what everyone's saying is that you've got dad breath.
What the hell's dad breath?
You know, dad breath. Guys get older, they stop paying attention to hygiene, their bodies are changing. It's just a fact that at a certain age, men start to rot from the inside out.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said.
It's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. We're all used to seeing writer, producer, filmmaker, actor, and singer Seth MacFarlane voicing the musical numbers on the hit series Family Guy, which has been nominated for 13 Emmy Awards, 5 wins, and will debut the 15th season this fall. But this overachiever also garnered 4 Grammy nominations, 2 for Family Guy and 2 for traditional pop vocal albums he released 5 years ago and last fall, and even a Best Song Oscar nomination for his theatrical hit Ted. Now, Seth is currently on tour performing with symphony orchestras across the country, singing the classics, numbers associated with Frank Sinatra and other notable vocal artists who left their mark on the Great American Songbook. And he's coming into Chicago this Wednesday, June 22nd, to Ravinia for an evening of music. And to talk about it all is Seth MacFarlane. Seth, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Man, I got to tell you, I saw you perform and sing at the Oscars in 2013, which just amazed me. The depth of your talent just has no boundaries.
Well, that's I'm not a very good tennis player, so there are limitations.
Okay. You know, I saw you perform with the Chicago Symphony at Ravinia. When did singing become a part of who you are? Did you have any formal training? Like, how did that all come about?
You know, I think it was a combination of the fact that my parents were both very, very musical. They encouraged my sister and I to do shows when we were younger, to join, believe it or not, a church choir. Coming from me,
mm-hmm.
it was something that was always encouraged and always they felt it was an important part of the formative years of the brain. And I think it also had something to do with the fact that I desperately needed glasses and I couldn't see a damn thing when I was a kid. So I used to sit in front of the record player and nobody could figure out why the hell I wasn't interested in anything else. And then some genius figured out, oh, he can't see a damn thing, so let's get him some glasses. So I think it may have been that my auditory reflexes developed a little faster.
Interesting.
And drew me further into that into that field. But it really, above all else, has to do with my parents introducing my sister and I to the classics, to the Great American Songbook, to all the old great shows, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein and Lerner and Lowe and whatnot. When we were very young.
And, you know, there's not a lot of people that are singing those songs anymore, so it's great to have them back and to have such a notable personality like you bring them to the forefront. And I know, you know, you did some training, and there was an older couple that worked with Sinatra and Streisand that you tapped to help you as well. Tell me a little bit about them.
Lee and Sally Sweetland, who I trained with for 10 years, I mean, they were both in their early 90s when I started training with them, and had both been married. They'd been married to each other since 1939, and both passed away just in the past couple of years. And trained people right up until they passed away. But they were both accomplished singers in the 30s and 40s. He was an opera singer. He had his own show on ABC Radio, and she sang on a lot of those old Henry Mancini choral mm-hmm. recordings and whatnot. And they're, they really trained the old fashioned way. If you're getting up to the microphone with no electronic help, or if you're in the recording studio and it's all live, it's all raw, that's what they trained you to do. So it was extremely valuable to me, particularly for the live performances, because they really showed me how to build that muscle and how to just get up there and do it.
How cool is that? And I know you play a little bit too. Now, I was taught piano by a nun who would slam a ruler seriously on the top of my knuckles if they weren't sitting up straight.
Anything taught by a nun, there's going to be some pain.
There's going to be some pain in here.
You better get it right if it's being taught by a nun.
Yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. But I know you were 9 or 10 when you took piano lessons, and I heard you tell the story on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I mean, you had a teacher that was keeping you on your toes, too.
Yeah, my piano teacher used to jab me in the head with a pencil. It wasn't the pointy end, which I guess is what kept her out of prison, but she... when you'd screw up, she would like grind the eraser end of a pencil into the top of your head, which I think probably wouldn't really fare so well nowadays.
It could leave a mark.
Changed culture.
It could leave a mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you recorded
that's all there is to that story.
No, that was awesome. And you recorded your first album, Music Is Better Than Words, with a microphone Sinatra used. Now, how's that for inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. It was it's a very specific sound. It's an old mic, and it was I think it was being housed at Capitol Records in Los Angeles.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the thing was about 50 years old, and we used it to record the whole record in the same studio where Sinatra recorded a lot of his records, and it is interesting. Each studio in Los Angeles or anywhere, I guess, has its own sound, and there are arrangers. You know, my arranger Joel McNeely, who I've done three albums with, is pretty good at hearing a recording and being able to tell you, okay, that was recorded at Sony, that was recorded at Warner Brothers, that was recorded at 20th Century Fox. So each of these rooms has a very specific sound, and you know, I guess it's the same with microphones, because that was a very dark, kind of misty sound that worked really great for the record.
I know you've looked up to Sinatra, and of course Nelson Riddle, you know, arranged all of his songs. I know the arrangements are so important to you when you're performing. What other singers have had a strong influence on you?
You know, I mean, you're correct. For me, it really is all about the orchestration. If there's a great orchestration in the mix, then I just perform better, and particularly when you have a full orchestra. Nelson Riddle obviously was
sure,
as good as it gets. But you know, as far as other vocalists, I mean, Gordon McRae was a big influence because of the size of his voice, and I mean, that guy had, you know, he was in Oklahoma and Carousel, the feature film versions, and just had the power of this voice. I mean, the guy could go out drinking all night, come in the next morning and record, and his voice just never failed him.
It's awesome.
Just an amazing instrument. And, you know, really, for me, the one guy who kind of comes up to Sinatra's level from time to time. You know, if I had to pick one other vocalist who really influenced me, it would be him.
Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Seth, he's involved in so much other things and so much comedy on television and the movies and everything else. He really doesn't need this. But this isn't about needing this. This is about wanting to do this. You really enjoy yourself on stage.
Yeah, I mean, I love the singing. What I really love is orchestras. I mean, my favorite part of of any Family Guy episode or a film that I'm directing is that scoring session where you get to go in and hear the score played live with a full symphony orchestra. And that's more than anything what it's about for me. You know, I've collected these old orchestrations and also performed some new ones written by several arrangers that I've worked with. And there's really nothing like it. You know, when you're up there with just being enveloped by a band of 60 to 80 players.
Yeah.
It's as much a concert for me as it is for the people in the audience, because half the reason I do it is just to hear the ensemble.
Well, and you play with all these local symphonies. You know, do you get some time to spend with them really before you hit the stage? Is it just rehearsal that day, the day before? I mean, how do you get in sync with everybody?
It depends. I mean, it is generally you get. It's usually the day of. Ideally, it's the day before, because you get a chance to rest your voice. But I mean, you get maybe 3 hours tops to rehearse a 2-hour show. And so everyone really has to be on their game And they are. I mean, you know, these local symphonies are they're fantastic. So it's a very doable thing. But it's a lot to cram in there. And you know, if you're rehearsing on the day and you're rehearsing a 2-hour show and then performing a 2-hour show, you know, I can't really do that twice in a day, or I'll just blow out my voice. So I just kind of whistle my way through the rehearsal. And then do the, you know, save it all up for the show.
Now, I have to assume, too, that you're going to throw a little, there's a little bit of your sense of humor, of course, in this, too, because people, when they come to see Seth, they know they're going to see a musical performance, something unique, something different, but there's got to be some comedy infused in here, too, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of that in between the songs. I mean, I'm very aware that it's a segmented audience that is comprised of people who are there to hear the music, they're there to hear the orchestrations, and there are people who are there because they're fans of Ted or Family Guy or whatever.
Absolutely.
So it is this Goldilocks zone that I try to exist in when I'm up there, and we've honed it pretty well at this point. We've done now maybe about, God, over 20 of these things and across the country, and so it's and around the world, and it's gotten to be a pretty easy rhythm.
Well, you can see Seth this Wednesday at Ravinia along with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra with special guest Catherine McPhee. For tickets, you can visit ravinia.org. And, of course, you can follow Seth on Facebook and Twitter. Thrilled talking to you. Thanks for taking a little time for us.
Thanks so much.
We'll see you in town this week.
Terrific.
All right, Andrew Zimmern from Bizarre Foods joins us next on 720 WGN.